following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Central Barbecue. Here in Memphis, there are three locations. To find one, go to cbqmemphis.com, and you can go to their fine establishment and enjoy their fine pork products. I'm not being silly here. Well, maybe I am a little bit, but here's the thing. It is consistently voted the number one barbecue place in Memphis. In fact, right now, Thrillist has a list. They're doing their big barbecue Final Four type deal thing for March Madness, and Central is in the Elite Eight right now as this is being recorded. Perhaps they'll go on to the Final Four. You can go to Thrillist and vote for it. And while you're on the web, head on over to cbqmemphis.com and order you some of their barbecue. You can have it shipped it to you anywhere in the United States of America. Yes, any of the 50 states, they'll get it to you, my friends. And you can be the envy of all your neighborhood when you get that slow-smoked goodness. Oh, my God, those ribs are to die for. And the pulled pork sandwich can't be beat. It's the best thing going. Central Barbecue. Proud sponsors from Radioland. Look for their banner at radio-memphis.com or go to cbqmemphis.com. Here we go with the show. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Here it's Easter Sunday. That's when this is being recorded, and there's a lot going on, of course, because you know it being Easter and stuff. And this podcast will show up in various people's news feeds from around social media, as will happen, because that's how the show gets promoted, quite frankly, through Facebook, through Twitter, through wherever. And it'll show up amongst all the other interesting Easter news posts, mainly from people who, it's the way it was with me today, earlier. It's from various people who are trying to make sure you understand why you should be celebrating Easter their way, because, you know, religion and all. Yeah, it's a Christian holiday. There's no doubt about it. It's not a company holiday. Typically, it isn't, because, as though some of you might know or not know, this country is not entirely Christian. There is several religions that make up the populace of this country, and that's the way it should be. That's, you know, we created this country to escape religious persecution, amongst other things, and you have the freedom to practice whatever religion you want, except, you know, unless it's Christian. that's kind of what it is, because they want to make sure that you join their church. I get requests from people every once in a while. Ricky, so you could come join our church and have why would I want to do that? I look, you know, my beliefs are my beliefs, and I'm not going to sit here and preach to you, if you will, about what one religion is over another, or why mine is better than yours, or whatever the case may be. The fact of the matter is people have an interesting twist on this sort of thing. First of all, they don't want to shut up about it, which, you know, I get it. The Bible even says that you should go out and spread the word. That's all well and good, but there does come a point when you have to just kind of calm down about it, because it's, you know, not everybody wants to, you know, follow in that path, and that's their business. If you've done spread the word, then you've did what you were supposed to do, and that's an okay thing. And such as it is. And when you go out and you try to try and convert people, I understand why you do that. Converting people to your religion means that more people will go to your church, and when more people go to your church, more money winds up in the coffers, and when more money is in the coffers, everybody in the church makes money and they get wealthy. That's how that works. My basic problem is about organized religion in general, as I think it is often crooked, and it is often dealing with things that aren't very religious. They don't often practice what they preach. There is an interesting, you know, when you look at it this way and you see what's going on in various churches, you know, well, look at the world right now. Look at the state that it's in. Terrorism is a big deal, obviously. Let's take that as an example. And when you've got a bunch of people that want to kill you because their God is better than your God or whatever the case may be, and a bomb goes off and a bunch of people get killed, a bunch of other people get wounded, I never really see where there's any churches that get involved in the helping of those who have been injured. Church charity just doesn't, you don't see it. I don't, and I'm sure there are some out there. I'm not disparaging that entirely, but you don't really see it that much. Usually when an area is going through some type of an upheaval, whether it's a man-made disaster or a Mother Nature disaster, not many churches really get involved. Some do. Some of you may be screaming, my church does, man. We help out the Haitians. We go and we build them schools and stuff. You don't see it that much, and that kind of bothers me. I'm not saying that churches should advertise that fact, but it should be a little more apparent that religious-based charity takes a bigger role in what is going on in our world and here in our own country. There's a part of town like any other city in the U.S. where there are a lot of churches, and next to them are faith-based charitable organizations that operate, although they don't seem like they're doing all that much good. I know of one particular church in the downtown area here in Memphis that used to provide some food for the homeless. Peanut butter sandwiches primarily and a piece of fruit, you know, a little something. And the church had raised up a bunch of money and they built themselves a pretty fancy kitchen, actually. It's commercial grade. And the priest there decided that it would be best that they shut down that operation because they didn't want to mess up the kitchen and they didn't want these people hanging around thinking that they were just going to be getting a free meal at any given point of the day, which seems sort of counterintuitive. But, you know, they got to watch their money. They don't need to be spending frivolously on, you know, taking care of people. That would be wrong. it doesn't help the bottom line much when this sort of thing happens. They're not out there trying to, you know, do the right thing. It just doesn't work that way. And sadly, it's a poor reflection on it. It really is. I've seen churches do really horrible things to people, and I've seen people who otherwise would claim to be, you know, religious or very spiritual turn into complete monsters. In fact, there was a story today that a guy was arrested this morning, Easter Sunday, after bringing several guns to a megachurch here in town. The man was taken into custody without incident. What he was planning, no clue. Why you got to bring a gun to church is, first of all, is beyond me. I get it. People want to carry for their own protection. And there were several posts in social media regarding that particular story about the guy over at the big megachurch. So, well, I safely carry my gun to church every Sunday. Because, you know, happiness, as John Lennon once said, is a warm gun. And I guess, you know, nothing brings you closer to the good Lord than making sure that you're heavily armed and you're ready to kick someone's ass or blow them away or remove them from the planet, because apparently you now have that responsibility to do that. Just because I'm protecting my life and the lives of the people that are in the church as well. You know, you introduce money, as I mentioned before, you introduce money into a situation like this and things get a little out of control. People get a little touchy. People get a little, you know, a little worked up. I get it. People want to have their sense of security. And there are people who will not go anywhere without being armed. And that's all well and good. However, it just sort of seems kind of crazy that you would feel inclined to carry your piece to a church. Wrong piece, by the way. The piece I'm referring to is IECE. So I don't know. I don't know that I have all those answers, and I don't want them to be. Although I do find it amusing too that amongst all of the other posts about you know, why you should be Christian or why you should be this or why you should be that. I am somewhat amused at the at what people do when they don't have their own religion, if they're atheists, which is fine. You're entitled to that. What I do find amusing is that there are those that are atheists who want to sell that to you as though you really shouldn't be doing this. You know, it serves no purpose. It's not like atheists get together and not have church. You know, they just don't go. They don't go. They don't believe. They do whatever they want to do. But those that make it a point to rub it into the others' faces, that's just kind of mean spirited, quite frankly. Because I guess they're kind of tired of everybody else ramming their religion down these other people's throats, and vice versa. It's not always, you know, a friendly discussion. There was a post that somebody had gone through the trouble of making and putting up there about the inconsistencies of the Bible. There are a lot of them. There are a ton of inconsistencies in the Bible. There is a lot of contradiction that happens in there. It's what makes it kind of a fun read. But you have to believe what you want to believe or not. And pretty much, you know, I think nowadays you just kind of need to keep that to yourself. We live in a modern time where if anybody shows an interest in any of this, they have that ability to look that up. They can find out any bit of information they want about that particular religion or not. That's the beautiful thing about the internet. It is the collective knowledge of all of humanity in one place. It's about gotten to the point where it is making higher education pointless. You know, I've got a friend of mine who is going on to seminary. He has felt that he has been kind of running from that career for a while, and he has decided that that he is now answering that call, and he is going to seminary to go be a minister in a church. It's great. That's what makes him happy. I have no qualms about that. He feels that he has moved in that direction, and thus he should be. Although I do find it sort of amusing that you have to go to a seminary school to be able to properly preach to your people. I guess it's, you know, it's sort of like going to chef school to learn how to cook. You know, you can still learn it all on your own, but there are some certain aspects of the business that you would probably need to go to seminary for, you know, like handling the money. Things not to do, like, you know, play with the little children. I'm looking at you, you Catholics. Yes, that's sort of hey bro, you're riding the Catholics kind of hard, man. I do that because they keep showing up in the news. In this mess that happened in Brussels, and all of these people that are trying to sort their lives out and try and figure out what it is that has happened and attach some type of reasoning behind it. There, as far as I could tell in any news outlet, there was no faith-based organization there to help any of those people. It just didn't work out that way. But yet, the second largest faith in the world, the Catholic Church, which is the largest landowner in the world, was more interested in figuring out how to keep their pedophile list from going public. That was in the news. Apparently, there's a list of, you know, dirty priests that the church has, and it somehow may have leaked out, and people are getting excited. And they're thinking that maybe, you know, there might be somebody they know that's on this list, but yet the church is going to protect it. And they would rather care about that than going out and helping people who've had their legs blown off because some madman thought that his God was far better than yours. I don't understand this. I really don't. Because it seems to me, and this is I'm going to, in essence, indict some of you Christians by saying this, that you may sit there and be a Christian on the holidays, but throughout the rest of the year, you certainly aren't. A good number of you are not. You're quick to use the Bible as a way to, you know, as a way to justify your points of view on the way other people live their lives. And you do so in a manner that's befitting of a buffet. A little of this, a little of that makes my point, and away you go. That's another beauty of the Bible. is it's sort of interchangeable in that aspect. And it was done that way. I don't know if it was intentionally, but that's just the way it has come out. And as such, people are quick to use that. You know, like with the marriage equality thing that the Supreme Court had upheld, and everybody was going, especially down here in the South, people were completely flipping out about it. What difference does it make to you? So what? Two guys want to get married. Unless you're gay, it doesn't matter to you. Live and let live. That's what you should do. It's what I believe that's along the same lines as what's in the Christian faith. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. That's really the only rule in Christianity, if you think about it. Love one another is in there. Live and let live. Be kind and do no harm. Those are basic rules that I think that just fit all of civilization in general. If humanity were to just simply believe for a moment that they can spend some time by doing no harm, then that's a good thing to have happen. But that's a lofty goal. Three words that make things so difficult. Do no harm. Because there are people out there that do want to create harm and danger and hate and fear. And some of them are using the book that they claim to be theirs as a justification for being able to hurt others. And to not, you know, to not live in a decent sort of manner. You look at this current crop of people that are running for the presidency of the United States, and amongst all the fascism and the hatred and the dirty speech and the mud flinging and everything that goes with it. And then they, you know, this thing goes from talking about their religious preferences all the way down to the size of one man's penis. Fascinating to me how this is even an issue in this day and age, but apparently we've come to this. It is really quite remarkable. Back in the day, a presidential candidate could lose his stature as a candidate by doing something that seemed, you know, rather unpresidential or unseemly, you know, like being on the back of a boat with a bunch of beautiful women. Now that just seems rather harmless. And I know that some of the things that I have said have been pointed and probably not very popular, and such as it is, it happens. Just like you are entitled to your point of view, I'm entitled to mine. And if anything, if it gives you pause to think about it, which is all I really try and do with some of these shows, I want people to just take a moment and stop what they're doing and think for just a moment about what they are doing and why they are doing it. It might change your point of view about certain things. Because there are plenty of people, there are plenty of religious people out there, and most of them, most of you who are religious, are only religious on religious holidays. There's a post that just came up. I happen to have Facebook up right now. Remember, it's not about the bunny. And there's a picture of a bunny at the foot of a cross, as though a rabbit would know how to pray. Perhaps they do. I've never really spent much time with rabbits to figure out what it is that they do or don't do, or what the religious belief may be. But you know, we put the bunny in the holiday along with the eggs, which makes, you know, it's on the surface it makes no sense, but it really ultimately it does. It's it's the coming of spring. You see, by celebrating the spring solstice, the Catholics decided to come in and attach a religious holiday to it. So the pagans and those that were, in their eyes, godless, are able to celebrate on the same holiday. That's why Christmas falls when it does, during the winter solstice, you know, ish. You know, Jesus wasn't he wasn't born in December, for what we know, and you know, the celebration of the anniversary of his coming back from the dead, which is Easter, isn't a floating day like it is. You know, it's based because Easter came early this year. It happened here in March and not April. It happens that way. I'm not quite sure exactly how that all comes together, and it shouldn't really matter. But the fact of the matter is this, that is celebrated the way that it is. It's to prevent you pagans from living a godless life that you don't need. No, you must join my church, so you must give me your money. That's what it is. Don't live your life like this. Live it like that. Do as I say, not as I do. It is kind of, I don't know, it's interesting now. I know churches in general have kind of taken it on the chin here of late because people they're getting kind of tired of the bullshit that we keep hearing from these, from what these church leaders are doing. It's crazy. And when wars are fought over the whole idea that, you know, God told me to kill you, I don't know of any God that really wants that. Seriously. It makes no sense to me. The whole concept of those that are radicalized are the ones that are going to be wanting to kill everybody and blow everybody away because they're radicalized. They have written things into their own book that make no sense. Or whatever the case may be. Just trying to perhaps make some sense to all of this. I don't know if I can do that. But the bottom line is quite simple. Do no harm. And, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not a religious statement. It came from a religion, but it's not a religious statement. It's a basic tenet of, I think, all of humanity. If you try and live by those two rules, because I know it's impossible to love everybody, but because I don't, but I do try to do unto others, and I try to do no harm. That's a pretty good goal right there. That and I don't eat peeps because they're nasty. They're absolutely horrifying. Just gross. Hey, check it out, kids. We've got some music for you on this show as we have been doing here of late. It's our good friends from Blackberry Wednesday. They got a brand new record out. Well, the current record. It's been out for a few months now, but they've been doing a little touring with it, and they're a great band. They're a lot of fun. The name of the album is Playing for Pennies, and it's about being a musician in this day and age and how to make it. If you can. So I tell you what we'll do. Let's play the title track to that album. It's called Playing for Pennies. It's Blackberry Wednesday from Radioland.
I got Jesus and a dollar in my pocket, and I'm okay with that. I'm not a big star on TMZ. And I got a lot of friends, but none of them ever text me back. Use my tax return to buy a flat screen. Player haters, bitches in hoes, that's all bullshit.
That's some bullshit.
The hippie scene and the hipsters in between. I walk around in it, I can dig it, but I never seem to fit.
Where in the hell do I belong?
I guess I'm still writing these songs for me and Luke and Dave. They say that you're no good or you're too old. Your sound has gone cold. You got no chance if you're not something special. You could start a new dance or talk to the devil. Nobody's gonna care if it's ever been done. You got one shot, and that's all you got. You better stand out like a city cop, and don't ever give up on yourself if you ever wanna get some. And keep on playing for pennies, and never give up. My house over some stupid interest rate. I'm a cardio nut, but you can't tell. Democrats and Republicans, always the great debate. Every 4 years, Fox News is gonna run them both to hell. Crystal meth and pills, everybody's swallowing it down. And my peers say I sound like Matchbox 20. It's 3 a.m., I must be lonely. You can find me playing 30-minute sets in the downtown of every small town. And that's for Matchbox, at least they write their songs and they're actually making money. And they say that you're no good, or you're too old, or your sound has gone cold. Nobody's gonna care if it's ever been done. You got one shot, and that's all you got. You better stand out like a city cop. And don't ever give up on yourself if you ever wanna get some. And keep on playing for pennies and never give up. We don't ever give up. Nobody's gonna care if it's ever been done. You got one shot, and that's all you got. You better stand out like a city cop. And don't ever give up on yourself if you ever wanna get some. And keep on playing for pennies and never give up. We will never give up. I got Jesus and a dollar in my pocket, and I'm okay with that.
That's a great tune. Blackberry Wednesday from Radioland, playing for pennies. That song is actually gaining a lot of traction with their fans. They everywhere they go, people are always requesting it. They really like it. So that's good. If you ever get a chance to go catch them, they do some touring every once in a while. They show up in the Midwest quite a bit and throughout the Memphis area, too. Go find them. Blackberry Wednesday. You can find them online as well. Search them out and get the record. It'll do wonders for your soul. Speaking of getting stuff, our friends over at Wizards are always out there to help you out. Right now they're having a tax sale. Yes, the tax man. April 15th, of course, is tax day. And, you know, you may be getting some money back. And if you do, hey, take it on over to Wizards and get yourself something pretty cool. It's a really groovy smoke shop, alternative smoke shop, if you will. It's great gift stuff. They have an adult novelty section, which is a lot of fun. Crazy t-shirts and wild hats and just some fun stuff all the way around. You can find them online, Wizards Memphis. Just search that or look for their banner at radio-memphis.com and buy online, safe and secure from anywhere in the world. Wizards, 1999 Madison Avenue, open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., because it's still smoking. All right, kids, I'm going to get on out of here. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my Easter. Coming up, I'm going to be going out of town later in the week. But the show will continue on, shockingly. And some more fun stuff is coming. So there you go. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.